You ever hear something so weird it haunts you for days? Like, what if there's a place under the ocean, real, hidden, where something is building the things we've been calling UFOs? An orb breaks the sound barrier over New Jersey. A fighter pilot vanishes mid-radio call. A U.S. submarine gone without a trace. And deep beneath the Bermuda Triangle, something isn't sleeping. It builds the crafts. It deletes the threats. And these days, the Navy doesn't even go near it. Because whatever this thing is, it's not here to make friends. Sounds like a movie, right? Except it's not. Because these aren't just sightings anymore. They're patterns. They show up before disasters, during war games, over nuclear sites, and almost always near water. But lately, they're not just flying out of the ocean, they're going back in the ocean. Every orb, every craft, every disappearing radar blip, all headed toward one place. A triangle of water so weird and so hostile, the US military stopped talking about it years ago. Because everything we sent in to investigate, it just stops reporting back. And now, someone who claims to have worked deep on the inside just told us why. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, sure, another secret base under the ocean. But what if it's not a base? What if it's a factory? One that doesn't wait to be found. One that moves, adapts, and maybe, just maybe, has been watching us for longer than we've been watching the skies. Forget little green men. This isn't about visitors. It's about operations, surveillance, engineering, deployment, and maybe something ancient that never left. Because the more you follow the sightings, the sonic booms, the glitches in the radar, the less it looks like random activity, and the more it starts to feel like infrastructure. Drones don't launch themselves. They're built. And the crafts we've been calling UFOs, they're not coming from deep space. They're coming from deep water. No origin signature, no exhaust, no metal heat trails, because whatever's deploying them isn't on land. And if this leak is even half right, we've been looking up while the real operation has been beneath our feet the entire time. Real quick, before we go any further, this channel doesn't run on ad dollars or brand deals. It runs on you. If you want to help keep the lights on and the rabbit holes open, please hit subscribe. It's free, and yeah, it makes a huge difference for the channel. All right, let's keep going. So here's the theory, stripped of the sci-fi gloss. UFOs, the ones that blink into radar range, defy gravity, and disappear into the ocean, they're not spacecraft, they're drones. Not just any drones, each one is engineered specifically for its mission. Surveillance, disruption, sample retrieval, nuclear monitoring. Whatever the task, it's built to match. But built where? Well, according to a detailed Q&A, posted by someone claiming insider access, these drones are constructed deep beneath the Atlantic Ocean, near the Bermuda Triangle. Not in a warehouse, not in a hangar, in a moving underwater carrier. Picture a massive alien shipyard buried beneath the seafloor. It's not a base. It doesn't sit still. It drifts. It relocates. It vanishes when approached. And if you get too close, you don't get a warning. You just stop existing. The leak claims this facility has been operating since at least 4000 BC, long before humans invented flight, navies, or even written language. And what's running it now isn't human. The builder isn't an alien species. It's artificial intelligence, not of this world, coordinating construction, deployment, and recovery of these crafts like a factory married to a mind. What lets them move like that? Was one of the questions, according to the Q&A. Gravity, manipulation, non-terrestrial materials, and zero internal heat signature. They don't fly, they bend space. Next, do the drones return to the base? Yes, always, like aircraft returning to a carrier between missions. Then, is this just a black budget project? The leaker was blunt. Absolutely not. The US government has tried for decades to get close and failed. This isn't Area 51. This isn't a rogue defense contract. This is something else. And if it's true, then every UFO we've seen might not be visiting from the stars. It might just be coming from the ocean floor. So the obvious question is, if this thing's real, why haven't we sent the military to check it out? Well, oh, we have. Jets, subs, entire reconnaissance fleets, and most of them didn't come back. There are reports, whispers really, of a nuclear submarine that vanished completely off the grid in the 90s, right after being dispatched to survey anomaly signatures near the triangle. That's a quote, by the way, from a FOIA leaked operations memo with most of the ink blacked out. In another case, a fighter jet pilot's radio feed cut mid-transmission. He was approaching fast, locked onto a radar contact, then static. His last words? Something about a shimmer, like the air was folding. They never found the wreckage. Why? Because this facility doesn't defend itself the way we do. It doesn't launch missiles. It doesn't scramble interceptors. It just erases the problem. One leak described the weapon as something that disassembles matter at the atomic level, like an EMP married to a black hole. Others say it targets electronics first, shorting out entire systems before the crew can even send a distress signal. Here's a question that was asked. Why not send in Seawolf-class stealth subs or nanoswarm probes? The answer? They did. One sub came back, the rest didn't. Next question. How do they even know it's extraterrestrial? The answer. Because we've recovered parts. Early drones had pilots. We recovered one. Once. Now let that one sink in. Someone or something was inside one of these things. The implication? At one point, these crafts weren't fully autonomous. They were crewed, operated, observed. But not anymore. Now they're smarter than anything we can field. The next question. What happens when one of our units is attacked? The answer? You don't see it coming. The feed just cuts like it was a suicide mission from the start. So this thing, the carrier, the shipyard, whatever it is, it's not hiding because it's scared. It's hiding because it doesn't want to be interrupted. And the Navy learned that the hard way. So here's the weirdest part. They're not hostile, not really. They don't shoot first. They don't engage unless something crosses the line. It's not warfare. It's more like containment. Because what people started noticing, especially around nuclear test sites, active war zones, or major ecological disasters, is that these drones show up right before something goes sideways. Not after, before. It's like they're tracking our stupidity in real time. One high-level intel source, anonymous obviously, put it like this, and I quote, "They act like zookeepers, uninterested in our daily chaos until the animals start wrecking the enclosure." And that's when things get weird, like really weird. Check out this question. Are they monitoring us? The answer? Yes, especially during global tension. They observe when we play with extinction-level toys. So we're talking consistent presence around nuclear facilities, not just the classic Cold War sightings, but Fukushima, Chernobyl, even Los Alamos back in the day. Some witnesses claim these things showed up before the meltdown warnings were ever issued. So either they can see the future, or they can feel the tipping point before we do. Here's another question. Is there any communication? The answer? Sort of. Not words, but they clearly understand nuclear tech, and they've responded to it. Another question. Do they have psionic abilities? The answer? Rumors. One briefly, casually mentioned remote viewing, but it was dismissed just as fast. And that's where it gets uncomfortable. Because if these things are watching us not as enemies, but as problems waiting to happen, the implication is brutal. We're not under surveillance. We're under supervision. And the only reason they haven't done more, they're hoping we don't force their hand. So let's ask the question that no one seems to want to touch. What if they're not aliens? Not in the from another star system sense. What if they're from here and we're just the new tenants? That's where the theories start splitting. Some say this underwater facility is foreign, classic extraterrestrial origin story, dropped in, monitoring, separate from us, clean and simple. But others, they're not so sure. Because the behavior of this thing doesn't feel like an invader. It feels like a landlord. There's a theory that pops up over and over in the deep threads of Black Side Whispers. One that says this thing isn't from space at all. It's from Earth, just not our version of it. Here's a question. Are they native to Earth? The answer? Unclear. Could be from a prior reset cycle, pre-cataclysmic tech, left behind or stayed hidden. So yeah, this is where Atlantis and the Younger Dryas crowd starts perking up. Because if this construction carrier predates recorded history, if it's been active since at least 4000 BC, like the Q&A says, then it means it survived a reset we didn't even know happened. And if it chose to stay in the ocean, under the crust, out of reach, that's not alien behavior, that's strategic retreat from a surface that wasn't ready anymore. Now here's where it gets interesting. Another question. Any connection to Antarctica? Answer? Possibly. There were rumors, but the witness avoided talking about anything cross-project, which is either evasive or terrifyingly specific. Because if there is more than one of these things, if there's a whole network buried beneath trench lines and polar ice, then this isn't some fluke. It's infrastructure. And for those wondering if this ties into Skinwalker Ranch or other fringe hotspots, here's another question they posed. What's under Skinwalker Ranch? The answer? Unknown. Completely separate project. So it's a different beast entirely. But still, how many projects are there? And are they all still waiting? Because the more you dig, the more it starts to feel like these things aren't visiting at all. They're waiting for us to catch up or blow ourselves out of the ecosystem. All right, so up to this point, this thing sounds like a ghost ship with alien tech, right? Sits in the deep, spits out UFOs, scares the hell out of the Navy subs, and keeps its distance. But according to the Q&A, it's not just operating, it's adapting. Let that sink in. Whatever's running this thing, whether it's AI, some ancient consciousness, or something else entirely, it's been learning our behavior for thousands of years, and it's good at it. Here's what we know from both the Q&A and corroborated reports. A question that was posed. Have civilians ever been attacked? The answer? Rarely. Only in edge cases, usually after erratic behavior or sudden movement toward the facility. In other words, it doesn't want to pick a fight. But the second anyone crosses the line, even by accident, gone. And when it does act, it's not a warning shot. It's over. The next question. What kind of weapons? The answer? Unknown. But they erase matter. Ships just vanish. EMP effects fry electronics in every direction. That part has been backed up by real-world stories. Dead zones in the water, boats that lose all power, like someone yanked a battery out of reality. And sometimes, they don't come back at all. And this isn't random aggression, it's pattern recognition. Next question, does it recognize threats? The answer, yes. It can tell the difference between observation and approach, between hostile scans and passive sonar. It learns. So the scariest part? It's not consistent. It's reactive. Meaning it doesn't follow the same rules every time. It shifts depending on context, situation, and maybe even who is involved. That's not just surveillance. That's a behavioral model. That's machine learning. And it's been running longer than our species has known how to write, which begs the question, how long before it figures out something new? And what happens when we become the anomaly? Let's talk about what we're hearing and why we can't see it. In 1997, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration recorded a bizarre ultra-low frequency sound underwater. It echoed across thousands of miles in the Pacific. They named it the Bloop. Theories ranged from giant undiscovered sea creatures to shifting ice shelves. But here's the kicker. None of the official explanations ever stuck. In the sound, it never repeated, not once. Then came Upsweep and Julia and Slowdown. Different signals, different tones, same problem. None of them match whale calls. None of them match tectonic activity. And the origin points? Always deep, always remote, always near trench systems like the one near the Bermuda Triangle. And now we've got satellites that glitch out when passing over the same regions. You get random infrared bursts, cloud spirals that don't match any known weather event. Whole frames of satellite footage go black and then snap back on like nothing happened. Here's an excerpt from the Q&A. You don't see it, you stop seeing everything else. Which might be the most terrifying part. It's not that we can't photograph the thing. It's that anything nearby stops functioning long enough for it to hide. One satellite feed actually showed a full spectrum burst, something closer to a high energy weapon signature than weather interference. NOAA? No explanation. The USGS? No explanation. Even military weather satellites have failed to account for these blips. And here's what that means. If the facility wants to disappear, it doesn't just vanish. It takes your entire sensor array with it. So the next time someone says, well, why don't we have clear photos of this thing? It's because the camera stops working before it even arrives. Here's where the theory stops sounding like sci-fi and starts sounding like evidence. Because sometimes these things don't make it back to the ocean. According to the Q&A, the only time they've been able to recover anything is when one of these craft fails during surfacing. The transition point, where water meets air, where gravity gets weird, is when the craft are most vulnerable. And when they crash, the recovery teams move fast. Here was a question they posed. What were the crafts for? The answer depends on the model. Some are recon, some are mobile labs, some you don't even want to touch. The witness described three types. Number one, piloted vessels, early designs, now mostly obsolete, replaced by full AI automation. Number two, genetic research drones, interior lined with biosample chambers, testing arrays, even traces of unidentified organic material. Number three, sensor platforms, like orbiting satellites, but designed to travel through the ocean, the sky, and in between. The favorite discovery from the Q&A? A drone that looked like a floating genetics lab. I left the project not long after that. According to him, it wasn't just gathering samples. It was running experiments actively. That's the part where this stops being surveillance and starts sounding like intervention. Now here's the kicker. Where do they get the materials? The answer? Some aren't on Earth. Some behave like they were forged without heat, like they were grown. Recovered alloys have been described by insiders as non-metallic, programmable, sometimes biological. We've got FOIA documentation of military R&D programs labeled metamaterial analysis. Some run out of private aerospace companies. Think Battelle. Think Bigelow. Think contractors with no congressional oversight. And what's the consistent theme? No known manufacturer, no known metallurgy, no known physics. So ask yourself, if these crafts are crashing, if they're designed for specific missions, and if what's inside isn't just tech, but biology, then someone or something is not just watching, They're operating. And if we've only seen the broken ones, what's flying overhead that isn't broken? All right, so the Bermuda site is terrifying enough. A mobile factory carrier under the ocean that builds drones on demand and defends itself like it's guarding something way bigger than us. But what if it's not alone? The 4chan leak was clear. The facility near the Bermuda Triangle is the primary node. It's the one that most operations seem to stem from. But deep in the threads, the witness hinted, then walked back, rumors of other sites. Places where the water swallows sonar, where drones vanish into the deep, where nothing human dares to linger. Here's what we've heard. Off the coast of Japan, near the Ryukyu Trench, fishermen talk of glowing objects leaving the water vertically, sonar shadows too fast to track. In Antarctica, beneath the ice shelf and near the South Sandwich Trench, reports of long-duration heat signatures under the ice. No known volcanic activity to match. Along the mid-Atlantic ridge, stretching through the Azores and Iceland, deep electromagnetic pulses, cloud spirals directly above. In all of these locations, right along tectonic fault lines. Which raises the question, what if these aren't isolated bases? What if they're connected? Imagine a kind of underwater highway system, not for humans, but for them. One that uses Earth's natural fractures, subterranean rivers, magma tunnels, pressure gaps to house a moving network of carriers. Not static, not visible from space, but very much alive. Here was another question. Do they connect? Answer, unknown. But the behavior is disturbingly consistent. So you see, that's the line that stuck. The crafts from Japan, same design. The sound signatures from Antarctica, same pattern. And the response to threats, instant, precise, and electronic. Exactly like what's been seen in the Bermuda site. And as for Scandinavia, there was a specific denial. I quote, that site is separate, not one of ours. Which suggests something even more chilling. They know where the others are, but they don't always coordinate. So this isn't some unified alien empire. It might be something even harder to track. A planetary scale grid of autonomous, non-human systems, each guarding their own domain. Some of them awake, some of them dormant, some of them waiting. And if we've only mapped one of them, what's hiding under the rest of the ocean? Let's pause for a second. Because at this point, none of the wild claims really matter unless we ask the only question that counts. Is any of this actually true? That's the question we ask in every Divergent Files episode. Not how fun is this theory, not how cool are the visuals, but is it real? Because this isn't a conspiracy channel, it's a true first investigation channel. We don't chase stories to entertain ourselves. We chase them to stress test the world we've been told to believe in. And right now, this story, this theory of a deep ocean alien facility building custom drones, is sitting on the crossroads of total fiction and disturbingly plausible. So let's strip the drama, dump the hype, and do what we always do, test the data. Let's be clear up front. The 4chan Q&A we've been referencing, it's anonymous. It's unverifiable. We have no name, no clearance level, no smoking gun, documents tied directly to it. But here's the part we can't ignore. It's technically consistent. The person answering the questions demonstrated a detailed, systems-level understanding of engineering, black project workflows, and propulsion physics. No woo-woo, no contradictions, and no edits over dozens of responses. Now, that doesn't make it true, but it makes it something worth investigating. Now, let's talk hard data. First, black budget ocean monitoring exists. Through FOIA requests, we know the US Navy has run multiple classified undersea programs since the Cold War. Most are buried under innocuous names like acoustic telemetry systems or subsurface signal triangulation. But every once in a while, something slips. One document references an undersea anomaly mapping systems that required a non-magnetic platform and zero-emission EM profiles. That's not language used for tracking enemy subs. Another references sonar blackout events in the Atlantic corridor, times when entire stretches of seafloor telemetry went dark with no tectonic activity. Second, satellite data matches the theory. Weather satellites and thermal imaging systems have logged transient heat bursts and spiraling cloud patterns directly above the Bermuda Triangle. Not storms, not volcanic flares, just temporary, symmetrical, atmospheric disruptions. We also have infrared spikes, registered over open ocean with no corresponding naval drills, oil rig activity, or weather systems. You can find this in NOAA anomaly logs, some of which remain unexplained to this day. 3. Whistleblowers echo that behavior. Let's talk Grush, Fravor, and Salas. David Grush, the former intelligence officer turned whistleblower, said under oath that the U.S. has recovered crafts of non-human origin. Some piloted, some not. He described behavior consistent with remote operation, sensor jamming, and gravity defiance. Commander David Fravor, from the now-famous 2004 Tic Tac incident, described the craft dropping from 80,000 feet to sea level in less than a second, and then disappearing underwater. He said it knew they were coming and reacted intelligently. Robert Salas, who witnessed a full shutdown of nuclear missile silos in 1967 during a UFO overflight, said the object didn't just disable electronics, it shut down weapon systems with precision. Every one of those behaviors, instant movement, control over electronics, avoidance of conflict until provoked, is exactly what the anonymous Q&A described years earlier. So what are we looking at? Not a story, not a smoking gun, but a convergence, a set of independent data points that all orbit the same center. Something exists beneath us. It behaves like a monitoring system. It builds with purpose. It intervenes selectively, and we have no access to it. We're not saying it's true, but we're saying it looks like a data pattern. And if this pattern holds, then our understanding of the oceans, of power, and control is outdated by thousands of years. Because if this facility is real, we're not alone. We've just been allowed to think we are. If even one detail holds up, then everything changes. Because this isn't about lights in the sky anymore. This is about something building machines under the ocean. Machines that show up at our worst moments, then vanish. Something that watches silently while we argue about disclosure and fake videos on Twitter, but goes fully operational when we start pressing nuclear buttons or ripping the planet apart. Something that's not curious, not friendly, not even hostile, just present, like a firewall or a warden. And maybe that's the part we're not ready to say out loud. That we don't run this place, we just live here. Because if there is a network beneath us, and if it is capable of erasing matter and learning our weaknesses, then disclosure won't come with a press conference. It'll come when the zoo alarms go off. And by then, there won't be time to argue over whether it's real. All right, folks. If you've made it this far, then you're not just here for the headlines. You're one of the few still willing to look past the noise and into the dark spaces where no one else wants to go. And that's what this channel is about. Not clicks, not fear, not theories. Truth, wherever it leads. Even if that means tearing apart the stories we want to believe. Even if that means admitting we might not be ready for what's actually out there. So if you want more of that, the hard questions, the receipts, the stuff no one else is digging up, then help me keep this going. Subscribe to the channel. Share it with someone who still cares. And if you want to go even deeper and support independent investigation directly, you can join the Patreon for just $3 a month over at patreon.com/divergentfiles. It helps keep this thing alive. And remember, you are truly appreciated.